It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Mayor Bill Peduto and Acting Public Safety Director Stephen Bukar announced today there will be 6 public meetings and a site for online remarks as part of the city's search for a new police chief. Joining us now to discuss this and other issues as part of his regular monthly visit to WESA is Mayor Bill Peduto. Good day, sir.
Hey, Paul. Good to see you.
Likewise. The first public meeting as part of this search isn't until June 26th. Why is it important to do all of this? Some might see this as dragging out the search.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of healing that has to happen when we're hiring a new police chief. And it's basically healing on two sides. Number one, within the bureau itself, there's a lot of issues with morale. Officers basically have just made it very clear that they've been dismayed by favoritism, cronyism within the bureau that has led to promotions and other decisions being made of where officers have been stationed, of how things have been operated. Even sergeants that have told me that they don't write up certain officers because of the politics involved in it. And what we want to do is assure our officers that we're going to create a bureau that every day when they put on that uniform, they can be a proud member of. And yes, there will be discipline, but discipline will be handled across the board evenly. And we'll get to that professional level that they expected when they joined the Pittsburgh Bureau of Police. On the other side of it is the disconnect between the community and the Bureau of Police, and we have to rebuild that connection. So on the one side, we will have the best practices in searching for a police chief. What type of education, what type of training, what type of background, what type of personality, what types of philosophies are really what we need for the city of Pittsburgh and a new police chief. But at the same time, on a parallel track, what do you want to see in your police chief? And letting the public have a say in what the criteria that we need to be looking for will be. So Public Safety Director Bukar and myself will be attending meetings throughout the city. We'll be utilizing the zone public safety meetings that happen on a monthly basis where community leaders gather to talk about public safety in their neighborhoods. We'll ask others to come out to those meetings, and hopefully they'll get more engaged in the public safety of their own neighborhoods by doing so, and we'll listen.
The online part of this involves citizens answering 3 questions. And the questions are, what priorities does your community need the new chief or the new chief of police to address? What qualities and skills does your community need the new chief of police to have? What can you and others in your community do to help realize the vision of policing in partnership with the community? How did you come up with these 3 questions? Because there are a lot of questions you could have answered, but you narrowed it down to these 3. How did you do it?
Because they're very broad, but they're also very specific. And what we're looking for are both trends that sort of, is there a consensus that's brewing, at least on the online discussion, where we really need to narrow down into? And at the same time, since we're looking at this as a neighborhood issue, not specifically an individual issue, can we become more aware of what's happening within neighborhoods and maybe where there is a separation from what the rest of the city may be saying, or where there are commonalities, whether it's by police zone or by demographics of a community, where we should become more attuned?
And with regard to the online component here, how does it work? Where does somebody go to look at these questions and weigh in?
We have a Mind Mixer account, which has been set up through our Department of Performance and Innovation. They can go to the website of the City of Pittsburgh to be able to link onto it. And we'll also be promoting it through our Twitter account, which is the next Pittsburgh and also the City of Pittsburgh. But either of those sources are to be able to get directly linked to it through Twitter or through the city's website.
You can join our conversation with Mayor Peduto by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email is esspgh@wesa.fm. You can reach us on Twitter at ESSPGH and follow the conversation at #EPLive. What are your priorities when it comes to hiring a new police chief? 412-246-2002. You can weigh in on that issue or others. Right now we have Bill in Banksville on the line with a question about property taxes. Bill, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
People are moving back into the city, but there were recent articles that I think were sort of exaggerating this. We don't have young families moving in and sending their kids to the city schools. These articles implied that the city was triumphing over the suburbs. 10,000 people moved into Cranberry in the last census. In Cranberry, developers pay for the sewers, water, and the roads. In the city, we tend to pay for those either directly or through indirect payments over.
Bill, I'm going to jump in. So you're wondering if property taxes will increase?
No. I would like to make one more comment. All this new development in the past has tend to forgiven the new taxes for the next 10 years. Like Buncher, the taxes will only be paid on the original value. The Union Bank building at Wood and Fourth, the taxes are only on the original value of the thing.
Bill, let me jump in. I need to.
We're getting higher taxes, and so the city is poor still.
Okay, so I'm trying to follow your train of thought here.
I understand what Bill's saying.
All right,
and I agree with him. I mean, but he also have to realize that Cranberry did receive a free road. It's called Interstate 279. We spent about $1 billion building it, and there wouldn't be Cranberry would still be cornfields. If it didn't have that infrastructure built, mainly from the people who lived in the areas where people lived back in the day, which was the city of Pittsburgh, the Fort Pitt Tunnel, the Liberty Tubes, the Parkway West, the Parkway East. We incentivized sprawl. We took the money that could have gone to rebuilding city neighborhoods, building a transit city system to be able to connect city neighborhoods. Instead, we built a highway system to get people further and further out. Now, what happens when you move out there? You have no legacy costs. You have no pensions. You have no crumbling sewer lines. You have nothing. So your taxes are lower. And that in itself throws gasoline on top of the fire and gets people to move out. So what does Cranberry have now? Its own suburb, Seven Fields, and it's moving further and further. Now, what happened in Western Pennsylvania, and this is very critical, is unlike other areas that sprawled, we weren't gaining population. We were losing population. So areas that are the older communities crumbled. The tax bases left. And those that had income chose to move further and further out. Those that were seniors, were low income, the housing values fall, were stuck holding the bill for a generation before them, which then increased the taxes. There's a system within Pennsylvania that is inherently unfair to all older communities, not just the city of Pittsburgh, but to all older communities. And that's why you see this cycle of sprawl and decline, sprawl and decline. However, in the past few years, and I can tell you this directly as the council representative for the East End, that's starting to change. And in my council district, over the past 10 years, it increased in population by 10%. The property values went up. And people who would have moved out because they had school-aged kids stayed. And we turned around neighborhoods like Friendship by reinvesting in over 50 homes and making them from apartment units that were carved up into single unit. And now you have a baby boom in Friendship, and they're staying to send their kids to Montessori because you have a community school. City neighborhoods can't exist without schools. The idea that you can create these mega elementary schools like suburbs have just isn't in the DNA of a city. A city up until 50 years ago, every city neighborhood had a school throughout the world. In the past 50 years, we've become so dependent upon automobiles that we think that you can just put them wherever. We have to reprioritize how we build our neighborhoods. But the fact is that we are starting to see a trend. And my goal over these next 10 years is to increase the population of the city of Pittsburgh by 20,000 people, ending a 50-year cycle of sprawl and decline.
That having been said, and I want to get into some of the Act 47 oversight issues, but with money being tight, budgets being tight, one of the concerns that people have is our property tax is going to go up. Is that something that I know that's something that, that you and the city council would like to avoid, but it may be unavoidable. Where does that stand?
I think with the passage of the Act 47 plan, which we're obligated to do by June 30th, it will be part of the plan. It would basically be a $40 increase for every $100,000 your home is valued at. It would also strictly limit it to what the property tax we received before the last property reassessment was. So we had received a certain amount of money, about $115 million through property taxes. The way that we reduced the taxes when the property reassessment came cut too far, and we lost about $8 million a year by cutting the property taxes too much. What this does is readjusts the rate so that we only get back to where we were 2 years ago. And it will be probably part of the plan that passes, but that doesn't mean between now and the end of the year we can't find a way to make those dollars up.
And we still welcome your input on the search for a new police chief. Again, 412-246-2002 if you'd like to come in with a comment or question. 412-246-2002. Before we move further into Act 47 issues, we have a tweet from Nettie P. who says, what can community groups do to help with the burden of repair work that faces each neighborhood?
It's a great question. One of the other ways that we're utilizing technology, not only through Mind Mixer, but we have a platform called Next Door. And again, it's a direct connection on our city's website. I'll also ask Tim to tweet out the link to it. And that will be through the city's Twitter account as well. But what Next Door does is it allows community groups to meet in cyberspace the same way that community groups meet in church basements, and to identify what the problems are and then to work collectively with your neighbors who you might not have met before to be able to solve them. I can never hire enough public works employees to be able to solve all the problems in the city, but if we can incorporate and get people more involved in their own neighborhood and on their own street, we're going to be able to do a lot more, and what we'll provide are the tools and the resources to be able to do it. To go directly to what Nettie is saying, how can it become effective? Prioritize. Decide, here's the three issues we want to tackle in 2015, and then work with us, and we'll work to almost be able to create what would be a scorecard or a report card on how well we can do to do something that is within a manageable process.
412-246-2002 to join the conversation with Pittsburgh Mayor Bill Peduto making his monthly visit to Essential Pittsburgh. Let's get into Act 47. The Oversight Panel, the Intergovernmental Cooperation Authority, or ICA, is recommending that the city cut services by 20% before raising any taxes. You're not too happy with this recommendation.
Well, I mean, how about 25% or 23% or 17%? I mean, this is the way that we got into the problems with financial mismanagement. You don't just throw a number out there and say, hey, here's a number. And by the way, what 20%? Is that 20% less roads to pave? Or maybe it's 20% less cops on the street? Maybe it's our urban forest needs to be cut 20%. Or maybe it's a combination of just across the board, everything 20%. It's like the person who didn't do their homework and coming in and just saying, A, or selecting one of the different sorts. For all the thoughtful planning and work that has been going on in order to come up with a plan to be able to get us to financial solvency, in order to be able to look department by department and to integrate technology and to be able to utilize ways that we haven't done things in the past that ups the amount of service by keeping the same amount of money, to just throw all that aside and say, 20%, cut it.
Well, arbitrarily, though it might be, in your opinion, can the city reduce operating costs by 20%?
I think in certain departments we have the opportunity to reduce costs. Other departments, I would say, were woefully underfunded. If you look at our, just a front page story in the Wall Street Journal yesterday about our steps, and we allocate $200,000 a year to take care of enough steps, as the article stated, to reach the top of Mount Everest. And there's no 10-year plan to be able to do it. There's no 2-year plan. There's no plan. Our swimming pools, there's no plan. Our urban forest, there's no plan. the purchasing of our police vehicles. There's no plan. So we hired people to come in to start to create the plans of having a capital fixed asset management system in place that will go well beyond a 5-year plan to a 10-year plan. That's the type of financial discipline the city needs. Saying just cut 20% lacks any thought. I'm not trying to be critical of the ICA. I'm trying to work with them. But after we have all these discussions and we sit down and we start talking about different ways that we're going to change the way that we're going to manage our street system, different ways that we're looking at being able to manage costs on our garbage pickup, and to just come in and throw a number, I just think really it dumbs down the conversation.
We're talking with Mayor Peduto, and we need to take a break. We'll come back and pick up where we left off. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and we're visiting with Mayor Bill Peduto today, making his monthly visit to Essential Pittsburgh and WESA. We were talking about Act 47 oversight issues, and we left off with ICA Board Chair Nicholas Verichetti chastising the city for failing to implement a new payroll system by April 2014 as promised, and said that chasing new revenue from the nonprofit community should not, quote, be the first answer to the current problem, end quote. How did you respond to Mr. Verichetti on these particular points?
Very detailed. So we put an entire letter back agreeing with most of the things he said. The one thing that I did take exception to was the 20%, just because it was a number that we really hadn't discussed before. It was sort of put out there arbitrarily that made, in a way, you know, it's you start doing all these different things to really take in the reins of being fiscally sound and prudent, and being the only person to stand up and call for Act 47 to continue, even when the ICA board said, no, if the city's fine, and then to do all these different things to take the hit and for someone to say, oh, no, you have to do much more, when they were sitting on the sidelines doing nothing or applauding before that the city was in good condition. I just thought was just it took the conversation down to a level I was unhappy with. With the nonprofits have to be a part of this. It's you know, the economy of this city has changed greatly. The nonprofits are now the factories that used to sit on the rivers. They moved up the hill, and they're called UPMC, Pitt, Carnegie Mellon, and Highmark. And, you know, they need to be a partner with the city, and that also includes a partner in revenue. And I guess I disagree with him that that shouldn't be one of the first areas we look at. That should have been an area that the ICA has been looking at for the past 10 years. And we're not going to wait 10 more years to get the type of agreement that we need. We'll do it within the first 10 months of our administration. And then the second part, I can't remember.
That was the second part. You were talking about the nonprofit community.
Yeah.
He was saying that he was – oh, actually, you skipped over the payroll.
Yeah, the issue. Payroll is a mess. So we've had the past 3 years to get this thing right. We came in and we told the ICA, look, we'll get this going. Just give us some time to do it. The further we looked into it, the further we found that something is just not right. And how this company got selected by the ICA or the group that was put together by the city or county, I don't know. But they don't seem to do this work anywhere else in the country. The contract itself that was let the overcosts, the cost overruns, I think we had a contract that was around $200,000-$400,000, and we spent over $1 million on cost overruns buying add-ons, even though the system wasn't even operational. And I have some very, very serious questions about how and why this was selected, why the ICA has been pushing it as hard as they have, and who was involved in doing all these cost overruns before a system wasn't ever operational. And the heck if I'm going to just go and turn on the switch and walk away from this. This is taxpayers' money that, in my opinion, was very poorly spent at best.
And at the end of the day, this is state oversight. So you've asked the ICA to go to bat for the city when it comes to things like pension reforms in Harrisburg.
Well, the ICA was created under the mission statement in order to be able to lobby the five key areas, the Senate leadership on the Democratic and Republican side, the House leadership on the Republican and Democratic side, and the governor, to get the needed changes for the city of Pittsburgh. there hasn't been any. For 10 years, we haven't had any legislative change that's come from the ICA in order to be able to do the things that are needed. So, you know, they can be a very useful partner in this, and, you know, we'll still work with them and do outreach. But, you know, they've got to understand that something wasn't right with that contract for that system. We have a new contract that's out now to sort of fix the mess that we've inherited. But just ignoring it and turning the switch on is not the way that we do business. And we'll get to the bottom of why and how things happened.
412-246-2002 to join the conversation with Mayor Peduto. Let's go to Jim in Squirrel Hill. Hi, Jim.
Hello.
We're pressed for time, so if you can keep it as short as possible, we would appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
Okay. Yes, this is Jim from Squirrel Hill. Hi, Bill. How are you?
Doing good, Jim.
Good, good, good. I was wondering what kind of a strategy that you and your team have adopted for business retention and expansion, which is the load-bearing beam of economic development.
Great question. Two tracks. Again, it seems like a lot of things are on two tracks today. The one is in the areas of the city that are doing great. So in all the things that we get the accolades about, the entrepreneurship, the Googles, all the things that are happening and booming. Even in manufacturing, I'm going to be down at the White House next week, one of 12 mayors the president's invited to talk about advanced manufacturing opportunities, looking at Pittsburgh and our makers movement as a way to expand things that are already happening in cities like Pittsburgh. With those, there's two things that we need to do. One is get out of the way and not have a lot of red tape to stopping entrepreneurship from really taking off. And the other is creating a sense of partnership, and that means refocusing attention with the URA. I've given Kevin Ackland, who's the chairman of the URA, the green light to restructure the urban redevelopment, even changing the name of it, to be able, and I realize that will take some state action to do as well, to refocus in on key areas of economic growth, neighborhood redevelopment, and housing. And the second track is those neighborhoods that haven't seen any development for 40 years. And within those communities, it's more of a brick-and-mortar and local entrepreneurism approach that we're working building by building and partnering with nonprofit and faith-based community in order to reestablish neighborhood business districts and to give people an opportunity to start their own business in their neighborhood and reestablish that as an anchor to then bring housing and other development around it.
Speaking of entrepreneurs, Lyft and Uber –
yeah,
have been cited by the PUC, some heavy fines involved here. What's going on?
So I met with the PUC chairman a while ago, and basically we had an agreement. He's a conservative Republican from the eastern part of the state who believes in free markets and capitalism and understands that the world is changing. And I'm a guy who just wants to be able to get a cab at midnight. So we had this understanding that ride sharing is here, it's not going away, and that the PUC's rules are antiquated and created before the time of ride sharing was even a concept, and that the PUC needs to create new rules. Where I think that the miscommunication was is that I was assured that there would be a temporary placement of rules while those new rules are being placed that would allow Uber and Lyft to operate in a legal system. We don't have that temporary system in place.
So in other words, something that we could live with for now while a permanent set of rules are agreed upon, which oftentimes takes a lot of time to work
and
through.
And to be honest, you have to have those types of rules. Regulations so that the person that you're getting in that car with, there's a trust that somebody has done the proper checks so that they're not an axe murderer. I mean, you know, you need to have those types of rules. So what we don't have is the temporary part that I was promised with the PUC. So I've been in touch with Uber and Lyft's representatives to get the background and the backstory of what's going on in Harrisburg, and I'll be following up with the PUC chairman again.
A couple things I wanted to hit before we let you go. Mayor, you made a pledge to personally take on the issues surrounding UPMC, the controversies with SEIU, Highmark, and with the city itself. How are these negotiations going? Do you have an update to share with us?
Well, they're constant, and I've had three meetings so far this year with Mr. Romoff and his team, and I've said there's three things that we're looking for. One is that it shouldn't matter what card you have, or if you even have a card, you should be able to go into a hospital to get care because your mission is not market share or profit margin, but your mission is to take care of sick people. And that's why you don't pay taxes. and that's why you're a charitable organization. Number two, take care of your workers. Give them a floor where the lowest paid workers are able to earn enough so that they're not on public assistance for food, for transportation, for housing. And we'll partner with you and make it so that we'll give them housing near your hospitals that they can rent to own, and then they can walk to work, and we can rebuild neighborhoods. And number three, we need that pilot, that payment in lieu of taxes, where all the nonprofits in the city, all of them combined, everything from Carnegie Mellon, Duquesne, West Penn, Highmark, the Little Sisters of the Poor, think of every single nonprofit, 60% of the payroll just is UPMC, just one. And certainly they have a role to play in helping to finance a good and vibrant city.
Last question. Gay marriages are proceeding in Pennsylvania, and you will be presiding over a special ceremony in Pittsburgh on Sunday.
We are going to have a big gay wedding. So we're going to have 10 couples that will be getting married, not in a big ceremony, but 20 couples. I'm getting the signal like a third base coach over there. 20 couples. Wow. We're going to be going. That's going to be an assembly line. Okay, but we're going to have 20 couples that will be married. We're going to do it at the council chambers. We're going to do one by one each ceremony. Then we're going to march down to the parade, and we're going to march just married with all the couples down to the Fairmont Hotel. And the Fairmont Hotel has opened its doors to each of the couples and their families and friends. We're going to have a champagne reception, and we're going to celebrate that equality has finally come to the state of Pennsylvania. I got to end on this, though, because a couple of your listeners did write in what they want in their police chief.
Okay, go ahead.
And I just have two. From Stephanie Blay, a city resident with strong ties to local community, a person of integrity and professionalism with leadership experience. And the other one.
Integrity, professionalism, leadership experience, and?
Hold on. Where is he?
Oh, those are all good qualities, of course.
Got to find him. Did I lose him already? Yeah, there you go. Oh, there's.
The mayor is going through his
Twitter
account.
It was such a good one. Oh, I had lost it.
You know what? We can get to it next time.
Yeah, but by that point, we'll already be well into the process.
I suppose we will.
Well, I guess that's it for today.
Okay, well, you can
keep... Oh, there it is. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Matteo Previsa, a big bushy mustache, slightly overweight, barbecue sauce stain on shirt, southern draw.
That's what you're looking for.
Well, that's what they're looking
for.
That's
what they're looking
yes.
for.
This is your listeners,
right,
not mine.
What do you think of the idea?
I think that the sauce stain should have one of those little Tide pens that cleans it up.
That could be something you issue to all city employees.
There you go.
You know, Mayor Bill Peduto joining us here on Essential Pittsburgh. As always, Mayor, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you to our listeners for the calls and the tweets. And we will focus on those police issues next time when we... Excuse me, getting all choked up about
yes.
it. Next time when we talk with Mayor Peduto. Mayor, again, thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up, what happens when you're married, raising a family, and one of the marriage partners realizes they're gay? It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.